College football nerds here talking Texas A&M and Arkansas, and this is the first week of the appearance of the model. We wait till week four. We might should have waited till week five or six, given the data that's not really out there and really tell some lies, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to remind y'all, we are doing a live show every week. We may not do one this week. Josh is going to be out. I'm going to decide later in the week. It'll be a game time decision whether or not I feel like I can carry a live show by myself. But I will post in the description a link to the podcast version, because we are on Google, Apple, Spotify. If you want to listen to our podcast and not watch my pretty face and all the graphics we put up, if you just want to listen in your car, we are on all of those platforms, and you can listen to that live show or check out the live show. It's obviously going to be on our YouTube page. I'll put a link down for that as well. Josh, so there's the L we took on the Arkansas-Texas game, because we both picked Texas. But you should get credit. One, you picked correctly against the spread. You said it was going to be a close game. But two, you made a really good point that Arkansas is the kind of team, the only way you beat them is just if you have elite athletes, especially at skill positions, and you can beat them with verticality. You're not going to come in and out physical them. And we said Texas sometimes wins ugly and maybe wins with physicality, and they're not going to be able to do that to Arkansas. They're not going to be able to have their way. Well, we didn't know that Arkansas was just going to wipe the mat with them on both lines of scrimmage. However, with Texas A&M coming into this game and what we've seen, especially from that A&M defense, this is a little bit of a different matchup, right?
It is, I think, a little bit of a different matchup. You know, when I look at these two teams, and you look at what Texas brought, Texas A&M is not Texas. Texas A&M has had one of the better lines in the SEC for years, and they've been able to reload. That's been a result of recruiting and the stability they have in their program. And I think Texas got a little bit shell-shocked by the reality of how difficult it is to hold up the line of scrimmage in the SEC. It's a cliche, but it's true. A&M, I think, has become accustomed to that now in their, ninth year in the conference. It's a difficult thing, and a lot of G5s and other schools that like to brag about maybe they beat an SEC team in a disinterested bowl game don't understand how difficult it is to beat anyone in the SEC with any consistent basis, because they all have good lines. A&M is going to hold the line of scrimmage. They have good talent there, and you know, I'll go ahead and lead into what I like about A&M. I like A&M's line play. I mean, I like the fact that A&M has Leal, and they have Tyree Johnson, and they have Clemens, and they have PV. They're going to hold point, and they've got depth. They've got guys like McKinley Jackson. There's a lot of reasons why their depth is the way it is right now, but they've got a lot of young players that are supremely talented too, and I think they're going to hold up a lot better against Arkansas's front. And that, to me, is maybe the biggest reason why I don't expect a repeat of the Texas and Arkansas game.
And a little bit of foreshadowing, we're going to do a segment in a little bit, and maybe that counts for part of it, called What I Like and What I Don't Like, which kind of helps us, forces us to look at both sides of each team and get into it a little bit. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But first, I want to make a point, Josh, because people have been getting at us on Twitter about this. I guess because we've been crowned the Texas A&M defenders since we were stumping for them the entire 2019 season. In a nutshell, we said it's ridiculous that Texas A&M can't be ranked because they couldn't beat number one or number two in the country, which they played four of. They played like Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. Because they couldn't beat one of those, then we're going to say they can't be in the top 25, which is silly. But anyway, they've been getting at us, posting sarcastically the Minnesota-Colorado score. And like, oh, I hope you're going to dump Texas A&M in your top 10. And I think that's really ridiculous, because that's posted without any context. We were kind of defending A&M in the context of, if you don't have a quarterback, or if your backup quarterback has to get thrown into a game. We saw it with Mac Jones against Tennessee when Tua got hurt years ago. He looked terrible, you know, because he's not getting first-team reps. He hadn't been getting first-team reps during the summer, during fall camp. And then he gets thrown in the fire. There's so much going on there that could go wrong. And the defense held point, which is good. But that's a totally different game than Minnesota coming in with a guy that's got 4 years' experience starting in Tanner Morgan. Completely ridiculous that they made that point. I think you kind of throw that game out the window. But anyway, we're talking about things that we like and things that we don't like. You've already said Texas A&M line. Get into some more things that you like about these teams.
So picking up with A&M, offensively, the thing I like about A&M is the depth of players that can make plays in space. And when I say that, I mean Anaya Smith, I mean Spiller, and I mean A-Chain. I mean, they've got a number of guys where if I flip them the ball on a simple little screenplay or, you know, you get them isolated in a linebacker in a wheel route and they can score a touchdown for you. Not everyone has that sort of player on their squad. And I think most teams would be pretty jealous to have that group of guys. Honestly, I think it's one of the things that's really holding Alabama back in that game against Florida and why they're a little less consistent is they don't have somebody that can consistently take a short pass and get 6 yards. And I think A&M has that. And that's a great security blanket. And it's a great way to move the offense when not a lot else is working. For Arkansas, offensively, I'll start. The thing I like about Arkansas offensively is that they're a pretty well put together unit that has good players at all three levels. Burke is a good player. Traylon Smith is a very good running back. KJ Jefferson has turned into a very effective quarterback. I don't think as a passer that he's super high level, but what he is he's been pretty consistent. He's hit the big plays that have been really available to him, and they have done a phenomenal job, I think, of leveraging him as a runner. Something that's gave Texas a lot of fits and has really given everybody they've played fits is they really do use him a lot. I mean, he had 73 yards rushing in that game, and because they use him so effectively as a runner, it means that you have to account for him at all times, and that makes everything else you do easier. If you've got a running quarterback that is a good passer but also a successful runner, it's not so much that you can't deal with him running per se, it's that it strains your defense schematically, especially if you play man coverage, because it's one more guy you have to man up. It's somebody you can't drop into protection, and it's difficult to deal with. So that's my biggest positive for Arkansas offensively. And I'll say defensively for Arkansas, pretty simple story. I like Barry Odom, and I like what they do defensively. They are not the flashiest defense in the world, but what they are is a defense that has a lot of good quality players, you know, guys like Grant Morgan, Bumper Pool, Catalan. You've got the NCAA leader of tackles on that team. They play sound defense. They make you work for every yard, and they're really good at dropping guys into coverage, playing sound. They are active in zone coverage, meaning a lot of times in the Texas game, they would rush 3, drop 8. The 8 guys aren't just standing around. They're moving. They're flowing. They have an understanding of how routes develop and where you need to flow with receivers, how when you bail from that guy, you move on to the next guy, and it's an active zone. No window is open for any extended period of time. That makes Arkansas very difficult to attack. And like we said, you can kind of out-athlete them because that, you know, all over the place, if you've got zone, that means you kind of end up with a lot of one-on-ones, or you have the ability to hit seams. And there's some predictability if you have a high-level passing attack with good receivers. There's yards to be had if you're efficient and good. Most teams don't have that. And if you don't operate at a high level, or you're someone that's inconsistent like Ole Miss last year, you can go in and throw 6 interceptions. And I think that's what I think is really defining about Arkansas and both these defenses in general. Different styles. A&M is more man coverage, more disruption and power. Arkansas is more bend but don't break and being really, really solid. And I mean extremely solid, almost at an NFL level. But the defenses for these teams are phenomenal, and the offenses have their little pieces that make things work.
What I like about both of these teams. So you said Barry Odom, and I'll counter with Mike Elko. Like I love Odom. I love Elko. I think there's two really strong coordinators here. I love this Texas A&M defense. And we've been on their defense for a while now. This is not just this year. This is not just against lesser competition. Although I will say, like, Terry Wilson had like 1.3 yards per attempt. Like, I know it's New Mexico. I know it's Terry Wilson. Because I've never loved Terry Wilson that much as a passer, but 1 point something yards per attempt is insane. So I love this defense. For Arkansas, I like the general physicality of this team. It's a mindset, and they play with a chip on their shoulder like the underdog. Like they create intangibles for themselves. And I do think that this crowd, this Arkansas crowd, has been dying for so long to have something to believe in, that the Arkansas side of this crowd is going to impact this game tremendously. So give me physicality and intangibles. And now I'm going to make you be the Grim Reaper. Tell me what you don't like about these teams. And maybe it's just in this matchup, but tell me what you don't like.
The thing that I don't like about each team really comes down to their limitations offensively. The thing that Calzada struggled with in the games I've watched, both the Colorado game and even in some degree in the New Mexico game, is he's not consistent in making reads and he panics in the pocket. A lot of times against Colorado, he faced a three-man rush. He had a clean pocket. He didn't make reads, so he wasn't seeing where guys would come open against the zone. And the mental clock in his head would start to go off and he would panic. One of the cardinal sins that you can do as a quarterback is to try to run around the pocket, meaning I've got this semicircle and I'm going to try to reverse course and run this big arc around the defensive end. More often than not, when you do that, the defensive end's either going to tackle you or he's going to run you down the moment you get outside the pocket. It's the same thing Arkansas did to Texas. And that's what's really concerning, because Barry Odom is going to do that. And if Calzada hasn't learned to calm down, to trust his pocket, and more importantly, to make reads so that he can throw on time from his pocket, Arkansas can drop eight and they can just wait for Texas A&M to implode. And it, for Arkansas, the concern I have is that while they have some pretty good pieces at each level, they don't have a lot of elite ones. Burke is a good receiver. I mean, he's a genuinely good receiver, maybe an NFL draft pick. He's not an elite receiver by SEC standards. And Arkansas has made a lot of hay by dominating the line of scrimmage against some inferior teams. And yeah, I might be throwing some shade at Texas there. And moving the ball consistently. A&M has one of the better lines in the country. I don't think you're going to dominate the line of scrimmage on A&M. Not unless that they're able to lean on them offensively for many, many quarters due to A&M not being able to possess the ball. So I don't think either team has a good matchup on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I think they're great. You know, and then maybe there's some things like, I don't know that the athleticism at the linebacker position is great for Arkansas. Maybe A&M can exploit that with those guys I was talking about that are elite athletes in space play. But space play is a fun word I just made up. But in general, I think it's the defenses that are really dominant. And I think the offenses for both sides are limited in different ways. And I think A&M in particular is probably about 40 to 50% offensively of what they should be given their limitations of the quarterback position.
Yeah, and you talked about offense. For me specifically, it's quarterbacks for what I don't like. I like skill players on both sides of the ball, or for or both of these teams. I like there's a lot to like in the skill players. You know, we saw, I think it was Naismith, it might have been Spiller, who had a really good game last year against Alabama, and they're using him in a lot of different ways. We saw, I think he had a three-game stretch, actually, there for A&M before people kind of maybe figured it out a little bit, where they were distributing like crazy. I don't think they have a distributor on this team at quarterback to take advantage of some of those skill player advantages, because Calzada is still getting comfortable as a quarterback in the SEC or in college football in general. So being able to be a true distributor is a concern. KJ Jefferson, I think, is a good, not great quarterback that also has some experience limitations behind him as well. So facing a defense, and again, when we're talking about what we don't like, it's in this matchup, where I think he might be a good matchup in another game. Facing a defense like this, it concerns me a little bit. But one thing I keep circling back to, we saw the 70-yard pass on repeat all day Saturday, which is a great play. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm about to take it away to make a point. That one play was great. 70-yard touchdown. You take that play away, 31 other attempts for the rest of the day against New Mexico, 6.2 yards per attempt. That scares me a little bit. Now, that might represent some growth from game one to game two, and then he's going to have a lot more growth in game three. That could totally happen. I'm not saying it can't, but I'm going by what I've seen and what I know. The other thing I know is where Arkansas might have been sandbagging with Rice to not show Texas what's going on, and Dan Mullen even admitted that they were sandbagging in their first two games to hold things back and to work on for Alabama. They weren't doing this. You're not breaking in a quarterback, a rookie quarterback that needs as much experience within the full-blown offense as he can get. They weren't doing that against New Mexico, right? They weren't sandbagging tape to hold back for for New Mexico. So Barry Odom's going to have all he needs to game plan against a quarterback whose strengths and weaknesses are going to be on full display and tendencies on full display. So I don't like that situation in this game, that matchup. But maybe the model sees it differently. I told you this is crazy. Josh, get us into the model.
Yeah. So every year at the start of the year, people ask why we don't run the model, or what does the model think? How does our team look in the model? Could you do it on X team? And we always say, look, our model is based off only this year's data. We don't have enough data. If we tried to run it right now, you would get crazy town results. Well, we ran it on this game, and we got something that I think is kind of a crazy town result. It says Arkansas 41, Texas A&M 14. Now, that doesn't mean that can't happen, but this is not a reliable or useful set of data. The reality is our model, because it's based off only results this year, it looks at what A&M did, and it said you played a Colorado team that's not that great, and you could barely move the ball. Arkansas is better defensively probably than Colorado. You're not going to move the ball here. And it looks at what Arkansas did and says, you know what, Texas is supposed to be a pretty good team, and you scored 30 to 40 points in every game. I've got no reason to think you won't score 40 here. Basically, the model doesn't start to look good until you've had at least one good game and at least one bad game, both. And right now, A&M hasn't really had their A-plus game, and Arkansas has looked pretty good in almost every one of theirs. But I still think there's some things in the intermediate stats that could be pretty useful. One of the things it talks about is percentages of opponent averages allowed. Now, these things can be a bit deceptive. Like A&M allows 130% of opponent rushing averages. That's just because their opponents have been so bad running the ball generally that even if you're allowing 3.5 yards per carry, you're allowing better than their average on the season. It's hard to stand out when you're playing trash teams because they tend to get some yardage on you in garbage time. Our model doesn't really filter out those garbage time numbers, and so early in the season it can get a little wonky. But you do see the pass defense numbers for both teams, 57%, 85%. The rush defense for Arkansas, 73%. These are all really good marks. Basically elite to close to elite numbers across the board. Where I think the most useful data lies is in the sort of predicted yardage for each team. It's saying that A&M isn't going to be able to run the ball about 3.9 yards per carry and won't pass. It's saying Arkansas will pass for 5.5 yards per attempt, which is dismal, by the way. But they will run for 8 yards per carry. I don't think the yardage number for yards per carry is probably 100% accurate. But what I take away from this is the fact that it says the only area where it sees any offensive success is Arkansas running the ball to some level. Everywhere else, the defense has a significant advantage. So taking that away, I think there probably is a grain of truth in that. I think Arkansas might be able to run the ball some. I saw some issues with A&M with run fits, despite how good they are defensively. They gave up some big chunk yardage, even in that last game to New Mexico and really throughout the year, Colorado, everyone else. They've had some issues with consistency. Arkansas is playing locked down defensively. And so, to me, that's maybe the one thing that you can take away from the model. The defenses are dominant in this game as expected. Arkansas might still be able to run the ball some.
And now we're getting into picks time. And for me, this is tough because, I picked the name brand, and I fell into that trap when I picked the Texas and Arkansas game. I picked Texas and Texas to cover pretty big, and I fell into that trap, and I probably shouldn't have. I'm picking... And my pen's not working. Everything that we've talked about, we even actually recorded this segment earlier, and it was this whole show earlier. We had some technical malfunctions and some other things, and I actually picked Arkansas. But we've talked through this again, and something that I said just a couple minutes ago really kind of stuck to me is, what if Calzada is going to have another leap in growth and command of the offense, and what we've seen so far is just him going through those growing pains, those stages, and he's going to do it at an accelerated pace. And I think that that might be the difference. I like that on the Arkansas side, I like that they can run a little bit at quarterback, which might get them a little bit more, maybe steal some yards or steal a possession here or there. But now I'm leaning Texas A&M. Give me Texas A&M 23, Arkansas 20. Tell me what you got.
So I'm going to go with a pick that I had in the prior video. I don't think I've changed my mind. I actually have Arkansas 2017. And like you said, I had a very narrow win for Texas. I said it wouldn't surprise me if Arkansas won. And I thought the issue was that Arkansas was being really underrated more than anything. And I think the same is true here. But the biggest issue to me is really a matchup problem, and it's a schematic problem with how Calzada's playing the position at quarterback. He's having real issues playing defenses that don't give him an easy throw. And what Odom does is he doesn't give you easy plays. You've got to beat them one-on-one. You've got to get them isolated and outplay them. And I think that might cause Calzada to panic. So on the balance, that makes me think Arkansas is more likely to win. Now, I think 2017. Like, I think this is a game that is low scoring. It's going to be very difficult. And when you have a game that's this low scoring, anything can happen. And, you know, maybe you can touch on a little bit the Auburn-Penn State game, because I think it's a good example. And like we talked about, isn't it true, right, that we picked that game? I had Penn State. You had Auburn against the spread. We both said it'd be low scoring. Our one conclusion, really, when we discussed it here and on Twitter, was, if anything, I would take the under if I was a betting person. I wouldn't pick in either team because low-scoring games are really inconsistent. I think the same is true here. This is a 47.5 under, which means like 20 to 27 is the expected point total. I think this game is going to be really unpredictable, and that's maybe the biggest takeaway if I were to try to make an actual prediction of what's going to happen in the game.
Yeah, we were nails on that Auburn-Penn State game. You said 27-20. I think the final score is 28-20. And I said 24-20. And the difference in that game, and that's what we always talk about with scores this low, points at this much at a premium, variability in every game comes into play. And one weird play here or there could determine the outcome. In that Auburn game, it was a trick play reverse where the guy freaked out and fumbled. Penn State picked it up. Three plays later, they scored. That was the entire difference in the game. Like, it completely changed everything for both teams schematically and everything. And you really have to scheme different when those points are at a premium. So I think that this is another one of those games. Like, I'm picking A&M. I'm still picking Arkansas to cover. And we always say, like, we say a lot of times, like, so many different outcomes wouldn't surprise us. It would surprise both of us if this was a high-scoring game or if one team blew the other out. So that's it for us on this one, y'all. Let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be. Bring your data. Make fun of the model this week if you want to. That's totally fair. We were doing it before the show. So thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.